Hey, everybody. Welcome to Viewing Angles. I am host number A, Dan Leo, your humble servant and Mel Gibson's personal masseuse.
And I'm host letter two, Robert Mackey.
Perfect. All right. Well, enough of the fun stuff. Let's get right into it with the box office. You must have guessed it. Jurassic World won it all, coming in right under $150 million with $148 million buckaroos. That's a lot of clams. A
lot of shekels.
And then Incredibles with in second place with $80 million, bringing its domestic total up to $350 million. Wowza. And then Ocean's 8 cruising along at $11 million. Surprise, I don't have it. What about you, Rob?
I think Incredibles is the most surprising thing to me. Like, I'm glad that it looks like it has legs. Like, $80 million for a second weekend is quite a bit. That's more than most movies make on their opening weekend.
I think it's already made more money than Solo.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, Disney's not really feeling that too much.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's, it's outpacing Finding Dory by about $60 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the 10-day total for Finding Dory was about $286 million, and 10-day total for Incredibles 2 is $350 million buckaroos.
Yeah, I don't think Finding Dory had as good of a word of mouth surrounding it when it came out. I feel like Finding Dory felt more like just a pretty standard sequel cash grab. Like, I wasn't a huge fan of it. I thought Incredibles 2 was a way better sequel.
Yeah. I agree. And I don't think people were clamoring for the Finding Dory or the Finding Nemo sequel as much as they were clamoring for the Incredibles 2 sequel.
Yeah.
It was like they were working around all of the Pixar movies that we didn't want to see sequels for.
Yeah, like Cars.
Yeah, just like, oh, we'll churn out a bunch of Cars movies and then Planes. But Planes isn't even Pixar. It's just regular Disney.
That's like Disney animation or something. Yeah.
But Incredibles 2 always had like, hey, when's the sequel coming out? When's the sequel coming out?
Yeah, I mean, it ended on a cliffhanger. Like, I don't know, maybe if Finding Nemo had ended on a cliffhanger, I would have been more interested in seeing a Finding Dory. But it felt like a complete story. Finding Dory is not something that needed to happen.
Yeah, they found Nemo. That's
yeah.
The Incredibles were still the Incredibles after the movie ended, but they found Nemo.
Yeah, it's almost as forced as the Jurassic Park sequels.
Oh, boy. That's well, just for the Jurassic Park, for the first Jurassic World, it was pacing at about $210 million around this time. So Jurassic World 2 is about $60 million behind.
Yeah.
Which is still, I mean, it still made a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, I think it's global. Is it like, I think it just passed $700 million globally.
Yeah, it released globally. To start with, because I think they knew that people in America were going to know that it wasn't good.
Yeah, but the foreigners just don't know a bad movie when they see it. That's why Transformers still makes money.
I think it's just, it's like the homogenization of the blockbuster in that to make something that will make money everywhere, they just kind of like dumb it down, up the CGI. They really like connect with the parts that you don't really, you know, need to focus on the dialogue or like the characters entrenched in like their own culture. It's just like, here's some bland faces and here's some money. Please see this movie. And they're like, all right. Yeah.
They are movies designed to be like texted during. And it's awful.
Yeah, no, it is the type of movie that you go to see with your family when you're drunk. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with
that. Because it's the only thing you can bond with your family over.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you like to drink? I like to drink. So let's collaborate on this and go see Jurassic World 2.
You know what I did notice, though, with Jurassic World 2 that I thought was kind of surprising? I feel like a lot of these, you know, global blockbusters are doing more to cater towards like an Asian Chinese market. I didn't really see that much with this one.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of interesting. I was expecting to see like half the cast be Chinese at this point, but all we got was what's his name? Dr. Wu?
BD Wong. Yeah.
BD Wong. Yeah.
Yeah, and his name in the movie is Dr. Wu. Rob's not being racist against.
I can't be racist against Asians. I am Asian.
You're right. Yeah, that'll get you out of hot water. We should put that at the top of every episode.
Yeah, a disclaimer.
Yeah, Robert is Asian.
Yeah, I'm allowed to say these things.
Don't at him, but like actually at him.
Yeah,
maybe that's what we should get to increase our Twitter followings. Just start saying very controversial things.
Oh, I feel like it works for like younger YouTubers. You know, all we got to do is film a dead body in the Japanese suicide forest.
But I don't want to. I want to go to Japan, but there's a lot of stuff to see, and the suicide forest is way low on that list.
Man, I don't know. You got to expand your horizons.
Do I? I feel like that would just be an upsetting thing to, like, I don't know. I don't want to, like, I get why, just like, oh, I went to the suicide, but then, like, then obviously you figure out why it's called that. And
yeah, I mean, yeah, but I don't know, like, this death historically has always been pretty fascinating to visit. Like, if you go to Paris, you know, you want to see where the public executions were held, which really isn't that hard because they were held fucking everywhere in that city.
Right, but I don't want to see, like, real people get executed. Like, I feel like
you don't have to go, you don't have to go in and, like, find a dead body.
True. I guess I just assume they were everywhere.
I think they do a pretty good job. I feel like it happens enough where they have like a cleanup crew, which Jesus Christ, what a fucking job.
Ugh. Right. Yeah. Imagine being the park ranger in that forest.
Ugh.
Be like, I love nature, but
yeah,
this is rough. Mm. You think they're everything God. Like think like going in there like I'm doing something pretty cliche.
What do you mean?
Like they're going to the suicide forest to commit suicide.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the park rangers. What's cliche about that?
Being a park ranger, yeah. Just
well, I think that's
classic
ranger
going into the forest.
Yeah. I think that's why they do it, though. It's like they're attracted to the cliche.
Yeah.
Like, if I remember correctly, the history I was reading up on it is it was some Japanese novelist or manga artist wrote a story about the main character committing suicide in that forest. And then, like, a bunch of people read it and were like, oh, I want to do that.
Oh, well, I don't think it, because I think people, and this is, I guess, how we're going to tie it back to media, but people will always say, like, oh, this caused something, like, you know, I don't know, I think that wouldn't have happened if they didn't already have it in their brain, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to say to me, like, hey, Dan, want to go to Alaska, and I'm not already thinking about going to Alaska, I'm going to say no. Like the only way I'm just like, oh yeah, you said that's triggered something in me because it was there.
Well, I think it's
I do want to go to Alaska though.
They were it's more that they whoever was reading that was already depressed and then that just like gave them a location that they thought would be iconic to do it in because it's like, I don't know, a tribute to their favorite author, I guess, their favorite character. I don't really know like what the story is about,
but. Yeah, no, it's like, what do they call it in philosophy, a causa sui project. It's like your immortality project. So by doing that, they feel like they have become a part of the art and they have ascended to a higher level of meaning. But you know, we don't even know the name of this manga, so it didn't really work.
Ouch.
That's the great illusion of the causa sui is that you need to accept that
it doesn't work.
That you're not immortal. Yeah. That's just like, you know, assign your meaning now. Call your loved ones.
Imitating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Call your mom.
Yeah. Call your mom. I'm sure she wants to hear from you.
Yeah. Probably. Call your mom. Ask her if she's ever seen Creed star Michael B. Jordan and Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, man. Because we're going right into the trailers. If you're still with us. Okay. So the first trailer, which was, I felt like a huge surprise. I think we all knew it was coming out. The sequel to Creed starring Michael B. Jordan. I think the movie that kind of kicked him and Ryan Coogler, the director, into the public consciousness with a movie. So Creed had no right being that good.
Nope.
And I think it very clearly showed. Like, hey, you got these two guys who can clearly reimagine old, recontextualize things for a new age and really in touch with culture today. I think it's really, really good. and Ryan Coogler has left the project. He's not doing Creed 2. He's a producer on it, but I think it still looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the trailer was well cut, and it's a story I'm willing to see because Michael B. Jordan is a great actor. And Sylvester Stallone got an Oscar nomination for his role in the previous film.
And I wish that was kind of surprising. I wish he would have won.
I mean, I wish he would have won too, but I also wish that Robert Downey Jr. would have won for Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. You're thinking like it's an honor to be nominated. Mm-hmm. That type of thing.
Yeah. And just for the role that they were nominated for.
Yeah, exactly. I think Sylvester Stallone did a really good job at he didn't really close the character. He does a good job when he thinks it's going to be the last one. Like, yeah. The first Rocky, really good. All the other ones, not too good. Rocky Balboa, pretty good.
Yeah.
Creed, pretty good. Creed 2, we'll see.
Rambo 4. Pretty good.
Yeah, there you go.
You directed that too.
Good for him.
Yeah, do you know who's directing the second Creed?
Some dude. He has like no credits pretty much. He doesn't make me excited about it, but it is being co-written by Sylvester Stallone, who wrote a lot of the good Rockies.
Yeah.
But also bad ones.
Did he not write Creed?
No, he did not. I think it was Michael B. Jordan and somebody, or not Michael B. Jordan, Ryan Coogler and somebody else.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I am interested in this film. I thought the trailer was well cut. I liked the, it was a pretty cinematic remix of DNA. I thought that was a nice touch.
Oh, yeah, by Kendrick Lamar. Very solid cutting in and music cues. So good. All right, what's the... I'm looking forward to see that. But the next one that we're talking about is Equalizer 2, the sequel to the Denzel Washington vehicle with Chloe Grace Moretz, directed by Antoine Fuqua, who is the writer of Training Day.
No, that's David Ayer.
Oh, right. He's the director of Training Day.
Yeah, he directed Training Day. David Ayer wrote it.
Correct.
And neither of them have done a really good movie since.
Correct. And you saw the reboot of Magnificent Seven, right, Rob?
Yep.
And that was directed by Antoine Fuqua, also starring Denzel Washington and our favorite boy, Chris Pratt. How did you like that movie?
It's totally passable. I think that the fact that it was a Magnificent Seven remake, though, hurt it a lot just because... You know, Magnificent Seven is such an iconic film.
Just like it's got one of the most iconic themes of all time.
Yeah. And there's no way that this movie was going to improve on it in any way.
True. But yeah. Like, you can't beat Yul Brynner, the greatest dead actor.
Oh, God. But Chris Pratt tried. But it's... Fine, like that. It's pretty much what I feel like walking out of every Antoine Fuqua movie. I'm like, I don't hate it. I didn't feel like I wasted money watching that film, but it's never like I'm never gonna sit down with friends and be like, oh, let's watch any of these Antoine Fuqua movies.
Yeah, I mean, the one that you're gonna watch is Training Day, which is an amazing movie.
Yeah,
so good, starring Ethan Hawke and Denzel. I mean, that's what got Denzel his second Oscar win.
Oh, did he win for that?
Yeah, he won for that. He also won for Glory.
Mm-hmm.
And oh man, Training Day is amazing.
Yeah,
he is amazing. It's if nothing else, I sometimes forget that Ethan Hawke is in that movie because Dr. Dre is in that movie too. Snoop Dogg is also in that movie. There are several people in this movie, is what I'm trying to say.
And they're all overshadowed by Denzel Washington.
Yeah, he's amazing. It's I understand why Denzel wants to work with Antoine Fuqua.
Yeah, in the back he's trying of his to recapture mind, that magic.
Well, in the back of his mind, I'm sure like he's thinking like, I owe this guy like the next 10 movies.
I'm sure they're just good friends too at this point.
They like, must after be, yeah.
Been in a working relationship for that long.
Oh yeah. And that, yeah, extremely collaborative, creative process. I hear all like they did a lot of improvising on the Training Day set. Like that whole line about like, King Kong got nothing on me. Like, that is all Denzel like improvising.
Yeah, I can see that. But Equalizer 2. So I haven't seen the first Equalizer. I hear it's another very middling movie, so I don't really have any desire to see it.
Yeah, me neither. This looks kind of interesting, though. At least, like, I would watch this if nothing else is coming out that week.
Yeah, I think the beginning of the trailer, like, it looks like the first, like, quarter or maybe, like, first third of the movie is going to be fun, a good time. But I don't like how they're going the route of, like, oh, this guy betrayed my working family, so now I gotta hunt him down and probably discover like a giant government conspiracy while I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's like you just got in the way of a bigger machine, and like, I really don't like the proto-fascist, like, and that's what these movies are like in the same way. And I don't have a problem with that, like, all the time. Like, I like superhero movies, but I think it's pretty out, like, superhero movies and this, like, the Death Wish, like, these are movies about fascists, people who are taking control of justice and eschewing, like, trial by jury or, like, any kind of rational jury system and just exacting executions. Like, they're fucked. These movies are inherently fucked up.
Yeah. Well, that's
like
why
them. I like them sometimes.
That's why I like Batman vs. Superman, because it vilifies Batman's actions.
It's two dictators fighting it out, which would has that happened normally?
Like in history?
Yeah, I guess all the time.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like that you could open any history book and find a good example.
Yeah. I mean, probably I'm thinking like Hitler versus Stalin.
Yeah.
But that had other players. I'm talking about like 1v1.
Like, I'm sure
1v1 meet IRL, you know?
If there were smaller countries, like, I feel like, all right, I'm not even going to say anything because I'm just going to show my lack of historical knowledge if I continue to talk.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you figure, like, any kind of war between two kings, like, in the early days.
Oh, yeah, if you want to go back that far, I feel like that's pretty easy.
Right, just look, but like, I think there's a difference between a dictator and a king. Maybe?
I feel like it's semantics at that point.
Yeah, because they both rule with absolute power.
Yeah, and neither of them were really elected.
There is a clear difference between like a king, which has some kind of claim of nobility, I think, through like their bloodline. There's something to that. Like, it's not like a dictator, I feel like, is just someone who's been given power or taken power.
Well, most dictators now, I feel like, are like, I think a lot of dictators start off by taking power, but their bloodlines still like have power. Just look at North Korea.
Yeah, like, he's a dictator, but he also is like the third in line.
Yeah, like, you can inherit a dictatorship the same way you can inherit royalty.
Yeah. Do they call him the supreme leader, which is just like a fun way of saying king or dictator? I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's a more fun way of saying king.
Yeah. The supreme leader. All right. Well, what's next?
The Hate You Give.
The Hate You Give, which this seems interesting because I don't think this is a movie that is going to be very of its time.
Yeah.
And it is a movie starring Common and other people. It looks like a lot of newbies. Issa Rae is in it as well. It is about a young African-American student who hangs out with a lot of white people at a private school, but is also kind of from a less well-to-do neighborhood. And she has a childhood friend and they meet up later in high school, and they get pulled over by the cops and he's kind of just fucking around and he grabs like a hairbrush out of like the front seat to go like brush his hair just to make a joke with his friend, and a cop shoots him, which is not good. And that's the rest of the movie is about the reaction to that in the way that you think it would happen.
Yeah, it looks, I'm intrigued. I feel like this, man, this movie better be good because it's tackling a lot of sensitive subjects.
Yeah. And I think I have no problem with movies tackling very like difficult and complicated subjects. But it also, like, when you set out to make a movie like that, you are putting an enormous burden on your shoulders to say, like, I can't be even like, this movie can't be just okay. It has to be like really, really good.
Yeah.
And, but I don't really even know about that. I think it can shoot for something higher and still deliver like a basic, you know, like a message and have that kind of representation. I think that's a good thing. The movie looks like it is closer to a Lifetime movie than Oscar award winning fare.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I was looking at just the cast and crew, and even the director and writer are pretty new to the industry, it seems like.
Yeah, which, you know, you think you'd trust somebody like, you know, Barry Jenkins or Steve McQueen, yeah, or, you know, someone who's like pretty established to be like, hey, we got this serious script being worked around, or, you know, I don't know. I'm interested to see the reactions from it.
Yeah, I am a little worried about this just because the director's previous film was a Nicholas Sparks adaptation.
Ah,
so yeah, that doesn't give me a whole lot of faith in this. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure it'll get a lot of talk when it initially releases, just because of how topical it is.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. But we shall see. I like how there's young actors. I kind of like, you know, when you see like, oh, look at new people.
Yeah,
that's always fun.
Yeah, it's I feel like it's a lot easier to get immersed into a film with newer people.
Yeah, it's almost like celebrity is the antithesis of like acting. You know what I mean? Like the fact that you are famous, like how could you be like a really, really good actor? Because the whole point of acting is to disappear in a role. And how could you possibly do that? You're like automatically handicapping yourself.
Yeah, I think there are definitely some actors that can do it.
But that's why they're the best of the best.
Yeah, but someone like Chris Pratt, you know.
Okay, that's we'll get into it later.
We're teasing it.
Yeah, exactly. We're at the teasing podcast. It out. Speaking of teasing things out, Tom Holland teased the shit out of something earlier.
He teased.
I mean, he just gave away the name of the next Spider-Man movie. Which, spoiler alert, there will be another Spider-Man movie. You know, he kind of got snapped away in the Avengers, but we all know that this was happening. Spider-Man Far From Home is the title.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's confirmed that Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be Mysterio,
which I'm very excited for. Very happy with that.
Love me some Jake Gyllenhaal.
Man, so when I saw this though, I saw a lot of people online talking about how they think it's going to be Spider-Man takes like a field trip abroad. And just the spider stuff in a different country, I guess.
That could be kind of interesting, but also like, isn't the whole point that he is in Queens?
Yeah, that's what I thought. But also, like, my thinking was going by the end of Infinity War. I guess space? It depends on how Avengers 4
space?
Happens. Yeah, I want space Spider-Man. I want space Spider-Man.
Spacer-Man? Give me,
like, put every Marvel character in space. Every Marvel character becomes more interesting as soon as they hit galaxy.
Kids, get in the car. We're going to space. I'm down for that. Yeah, he could be in, isn't there like a, you know, he could go to the symbiote planet maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just throwing stuff out there. I
mean, there's an entire storyline where Venom becomes a guardian of the galaxy.
Interesting.
But yeah, give me Spider-Man in space. I feel like we've seen him in New York already.
Spidey space. Does whatever a Spidey space does.
He's already got the suit.
Yeah, there
the
you go.
Space suit.
Space suit.
Don't waste that potential.
Yeah. I'm excited, but I don't think this title really tells us anything.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I feel like they probably told him to do this just because it's kind of become a meme at this point for Tom Holland to be spoilering Marvel scripts.
Yeah, he's real bad at doing that.
Yeah, I'm mainly excited to see Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. I think that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, and I hear Michael Keaton will be back, and I love some Keaton.
Ooh, yeah.
Very underused in the first one. I'm excited for it. So we got this other piece of news, and then we're going to go right into it. The Academy has invited a record number of new members, 928. That's almost 200 more than they did in 2017. So there's obviously a big emphasis on diversity. If all of the women accept who have been invited, it'll push up the number of the demographics to be 31% female, which is obviously not representative of the general population, but getting there. So that's good. And if all the people of color accept, it'll bump them up to 17%, which is also pretty low compared to the general population. But, you know,
I feel like too that people of color just all grouped into one demographic is odd.
Yeah, non-whites, like that's like they would never say that, but they'll say yeah. Like people of like, because it almost makes people think that, oh, like, I don't know, at least when I hear, and this might just be my own the fact that I'm also a piece of shit, that when I hear people of color, I think more of like black people than I think of like other races.
Yeah, I think that's just, it's because it's the most commonly used term to describe black groups in America, I feel
right.
Like.
But Rob, would you consider yourself a person of color?
I actually don't even know. I don't know if Asians are considered people of color or not. I've never actually looked into it.
I mean, I think the maybe the point of, and this is just like an art thing maybe, is white is the absence of color. So anything not white would be a person of
I
color.
I guess, yeah, that's one way to look at it.
It's yeah, also a very specific way of looking at it, which you know, nobody else has to.
But yeah, I'm curious to see how this affects the types of nominations we get at next year's Oscars.
Yeah, I mean,
wins we get.
Oh, yeah. I think that the more diverse we get, the less likely it is something like King's Speech winning will ever happen.
Hey, I thought the King's Speech was good.
Yeah, it was good. But was it the best movie that year?
I think it'll significantly lower the chance of something like Crash ever winning again. Hopefully there's a lot less white guilt going into the Academy next time around.
Yeah, just regular guilt at this point.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. It's good that the Academy is making strides. Obviously, they could be doing more. You know, they could just backlog. Honestly, I don't know why they don't just be like, all right, we're going all in. Like, we're going to fix all the demo. Because they don't... I'd say just like don't invite like white people for like 2 years and then like that'll solve. Like honestly, just add all 900. Like I think it was only they didn't fix it obviously, and they probably couldn't fix it in like 1 year of just inviting. But they maybe like I don't know how it works is what I'm saying.
I think
they could do it 2 years in a row, and then we just wouldn't, and then be like, all right, now we're up to proportion, and then just keep it like that.
Yeah, I think that's hopefully what they're gunning for.
But they didn't do that. You know, well, they're in the process of doing that. Right, but I'm saying that no, don't let any white people in for like 2 years. No new white people. Only
nobody would watch it then. At least not enough people would watch it.
The Oscars?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the Academy. I'm talking about how they invite new people every year.
Oh, okay.
You get
it. So just there, Academy members. Okay.
Yeah. So there's the Academy body. I don't know how many people are in it, but it's a lot. And so this year they added 928. So what I'm saying, none of those people should have been white people. They should just kept it like all people of color for like 2 years straight until like it was represented.
Mm.
All like a lot of women, a lot of people of color, and just like fix it right away and then just keep it going.
What is the process of like applying to be an Academy member?
I think you get invited. I think that's
you just
point.
Get selected. So I wonder what the selection process is like then.
I'm sure somebody like they have to vote. I don't know. They have to vote. Yeah, they have to vote.
Yeah,
and I'm sure if you get like I'm sure you need like a sponsor and you need people to like, I'm sure there's like a nomination. I don't know.
I feel like it's a lot of current members trying to get their friends into the Academy as well.
Definitely. Everybody wants those screeners.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really what the Academy is about, I feel like. It's not really about voting. It's about the screeners.
It's about the screeners.
Yeah. Which, you know, like half the people voting in the Academy don't even watch any of the movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, there are like interviews with various members that are like, yeah, I watched like two.
Yeah. There are definitely like a handful of Academy members who don't watch any of the movies and just vote like odd random stuff.
just like voting on a survey after you eat a Chili's or something.
Yeah, it's like you could enter to win a $100 Chili's gift card. And I'm like,
do you want to stay in the Academy? Vote for Best Picture.
Yeah, like, all right, here we go.
All right,
I already got kicked out of the SAG.
Yeah.
Okay.
The fish one.
Yes. So some of the new people, you got like Dave Chappelle is one of the new guys. Kumail Nanjiani.
They're Academy members now? Academy voters?
If they accept. Emily V. Gordon, Ann Dowd, more people.
Cool.
That's just a tasty taste. You can look it up online. There's 928. I'm not going to read them all for you. This isn't a nanny state.
If, you know, that's one of our Patreon goals. If we get to $1,000 a month on Patreon, we'll have Dan read every Academy, new Academy member for you.
I'll read anything for enough money. Well, not anything. You know what I'm thinking about.
Don't push your luck.
Yeah. I'm not reading
Mein Kampf.
I was going to say Catcher in the Rye, but
all right. So what you're saying is you will read Hitler's Life Story for enough money.
I won't read anything by
dictators.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I don't know. Is Kings count? Does Marcus, or who cares? All right.
They're the same thing.
Let's enter the review section of this podcast. The movie that we both saw this weekend, Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom, or as I like to call it, the worst Jurassic Park movie.
I agree. Jurassic World Kingdom Hearts was fucking terrible.
All right, what are some general ideas?
All right, well, first, I want to set some boundaries. Well, I want to set some boundaries real quick. I think we should do half of the review spoiler free, second half spoiler filled. One, because I don't think anybody should actually go see this movie, and like we'll spoil it for you here for free.
Yeah. But
I also think there's a lot of stuff that a lot of what makes the movie bad, I think, would technically be counted as spoilers.
Yeah, I agree. So let's get into first Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. You know it as the fifth Jurassic Park movie, the second in the reboot, Jurassic World. This is the sequel that is not being directed by Colin Trevorrow, but is still written by him and some other guy. It stars Bryce Dallas Howard as Claire Dearing, Chris Pratt as Owen Grady, and we got some new people. Daniela Pineda is in it. She is a dino doctor, a dino veterinarian. There's Justice Smith, not related to Will, and Jada Pinkett as Franklin Webb, this nerdy dude. And James Cromwell as the secret partner to John Hammond that they never mention in any of the other four movies.
God damn. I was when he came out and he's like, oh, I worked with Hammond, like this was our dream. I was like, did I miss something from the previous four movies, or are they just like shoehorning a new character in?
Yeah, it didn't. So the basic premise of the movie is that the island that the original Jurassic World happened on is going to blow up because of the volcano, and the conservationists want to save the dinos. They want to bring like 12 dinosaurs out of the island and put them on a new island. Oh God. And then things go bad from there.
Everything about the setup for this movie is bad. Like you can start with how did they not know that the volcano was active when they built the park, when they built two parks on it? And they had no idea that the volcano was active or had any chance of becoming active. Why would you build it on a volcano to begin with?
Yes. And furthermore, all right, I got a few things. First of all, I think it's all clear to say that we both didn't like this movie.
Yes.
I've got a few reasons. First of all, a movie with dinosaurs and a volcano shouldn't be boring.
Yeah.
And it was both of those things. Try to describe any of these characters. You can't, because there's no... Honestly, I think the best person in this was Daniela Pineda as Zia, the doctor. She was the best character, and she didn't get that much time in it.
I was going to say, if you think she's the best character, I feel like she was still a shit character.
Yeah, no, there's like... Name a thing about her besides like smart and funky.
She wears glasses.
She wears glasses and can point a gun at things. And she knows about dinosaurs. No, she was a Marine. She was a Marine. They do mention that.
They mentioned she was a Marine?
Yes, very briefly.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, exactly.
I just remember her, like, she's like, oh, I'm a doctor. What do? You fucking plug in cords and get paid for it? I was like, why? The first introduction to this character, and she's being a bitch to the IT guy, who was, like, apparently needed to solve the problems on the island.
Yeah, and they're both these random people working in this conservation that somehow also have to play a role on the park for some... So
it's like a struggle to think about what the actual plot of the movie was.
Yeah. So the movie kind of comes in and Bryce Dallas Howard is now like leading the conservation efforts to be like, we have to save the dinosaurs because they're animals. And that's what we're going with in this movie. And we're like, all right, sure. Why not? Like, honestly, not a bad premise, not a bad premise to be like, these are living creatures. They are endangered. They should be protected like other endangered animals. There are worse premises for movies.
Yeah.
But this is probably the worst out of all of them so far. And then Owen, they want to get Blue, the raptor, the super intelligent raptor from the first movie that Chris Pratt's character, Owen, trained and loved and all that. So that's why they had got to bring Chris Pratt. Also, not a bad premise. The only bad part is describe these two characters. You can't, because there's nothing identifiable about them. There's no reason that Chris Pratt, he's been living apart from this blue raptor for like
3 years.
Apparently years. Yeah. And he's like, oh, now I feel bad. Like, dude.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. The entire time, and I will admit that I was probably primed a little bit for not liking it, but the entire time I was watching the movie, I was just thinking like, I could do this. I could make a better movie than this. Like I could come up with better. Like if someone had given me this script and said like, hey, can I have your notes on this? I would have had notes. I would have had a lot of notes.
Yeah.
Which makes me terrified to think that what it was before they got notes.
Yeah. What was the first draft of the script like?
Yeah. All right. So they go to the island. Stuff happens for no reason. Things happen in this movie. Things happen in this movie. That is the nicest thing I could say about it.
Yeah.
Like,
that's high praise.
It is. Yeah. Things happen and there's no reason for them not to happen, I guess. Let's just get all the other stuff out of the way so we can talk about the spoilers, because this is something that I really want to talk about in depth, like the plot of this movie.
Yeah. It's that's I mean, I don't know if it's the worst part, but it's one of the worst parts. I don't know. I can't even decide if the characters or the plot are worse in this movie.
Yeah. So basically, it takes the worst parts of all of the Jurassic Park movies and puts them in one movie. You've got a rehashed plot from Jurassic World that they don't even start rehashing until like halfway through the movie. That's when they decide, like, all right, we ran out of ideas. We thought that volcano thing was going to last the whole time, but it actually lasted like 45 minutes.
I feel like this movie could have been better if it was just the volcano. Like, if it was just on the island and there was a time bomb with the volcano going off at any moment.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Oh, God. But yeah.
There's a side plot. The whole side plot about the partner. Like, they did not need to introduce this guy.
All of the side plots are bad. The side plot with Lockwood's granddaughter is bad.
Yeah, it's the whole time I'm like, why am I looking at this little girl? Why do I care? And then they're like, hey, this is why you should care. And I'm like, that's not a good reason.
Yeah.
Like, that's also stupid.
And then they bring Jeff Goldblum in for like less than 2 minutes.
You know, even they he was filmed like the his face scene of in the 20 marketing. Minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's as soon as I saw that trailer and they showed Jeff Goldblum in the courtroom, I was like, that's his scene in the movie. That's it.
Oh, yeah. And that was the right. Whole yeah. Like thing. And I don't know if they're just like, if the point of this movie is to be like, people are so stupid, but every person in this movie is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And Jeff, the whole, like, it starts with Jeff Goldblum testifying in front of Congress being like, hey, don't save these dinosaurs. Let them die. You saw what happened to the other four movies. And everyone's like, yeah, we agree. And then Bryce Dallas Howard is like, I am an idiot. Let me, like, let me not listen to these people.
Like, that's the problem with, like, every Jurassic Park movie, though, is, like, nobody listens to Jeff Goldblum. And that's why there's a plot in every Jurassic Park movie.
Right, but the other, like, the motivations behind, like, the all of the other movies make enough sense. The first Jurassic Park movie, hey, it's Jurassic Park, you get it, like, come and check this shit out. Wow, it's amazing, and it goes wrong. Jurassic Park 2, hey, there's this other island where stuff's going on, we need to go there and get some dinosaur, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
3, hey, our son is trapped there, and we're going to make you think that we're just taking you to like a sightsee village or visit, but we're actually going to try and save our son. Jurassic World, hey, they fixed it. They made it perfect. Like, hey, look at this. And they made
it so good. But we need a plot. Yeah.
Well, no, they made it so good that people are getting bored. They need to make another. Like, that's a good premise for a reboot. This is stupid.
Yeah.
This is the whole point, is it's like, hey, you know how dinosaurs have been killing people the entire time? Let's save them now. Why? Why?
Why? Because dinosaurs killing people makes money.
Yeah.
Man, speaking of Jurassic Park 2, though.
Yeah.
So Isla Sorna is this island right next, not right next, but like close to Isla Nublar.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just move the dinosaurs to that fucking island? There's nothing on that island right now.
Shut up, Rob. You think people are going to remember that there are two islands? Because they're not.
I mean, if people actually care about this franchise like they make it seem they do.
I think this movie is like a test to see if they really cared about this movie. Like, yeah, this, like, franchise.
How much can we just bend with the continuity here?
Yeah, how much
can we introduce a partner for Hammond that hasn't been mentioned in the previous four movies at all? Yeah, of course we can.
We just got to get him to be played by another amazing British actor.
Yeah. He's wide enough and has a beard enough.
Yeah, and see, and like, the problem with having like James Cromwell and Jeff Goldblum in the movie, even for a little bit, is just being like, "Oh, this is what like really good actors are like." And like, I'm not saying BDH is like a bad like actress. She's fine, I think. Chris Pratt is not good. Like, and it might just be like a bad character.
Same, I think they're on the same level, honestly.
Yeah, maybe. I think there is a role for Chris Pratt, and I think it's as soon as he finds like he could be like Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Like a very like old school, like kind of machismo.
Like a likable everyman.
Yeah, not even, you know, just make Chris Pratt and just don't make him funny. Like, don't. I want a movie where Chris Pratt isn't funny. That isn't like the central premise, is that he's like ripped and also funny.
Like, he can be funny just like on the offhand. Like, his just natural charisma is like some comedy is going to come through with some timing, but. Yeah, I don't think you need to force jokes onto his roles.
Yeah, definitely. I did. Man, yeah, there is one funny joke that Chris Pratt does when it's like they're coming out and BDH is like, be careful. And he's like, if I die, know that this was all your fault.
Yeah.
He's like, just kidding. That's funny. I'm sorry if I spoiled that joke for anybody, but honestly, that's the high point of the movie.
Yeah, you spoiled the best part of the movie right there.
Yeah, think about, would you pay $10 for that joke just said by Chris Pratt? If the answer is yes, jump off a bridge. If the answer is no,
keep on listening to this podcast.
Keep on listening. Do we want to transition into the spoiler part of this?
Yeah, so I think, you know, closing thoughts, if you don't want to listen to the spoiler part, don't see this movie. It's not worth it. Like, this is a movie that I feel like when I was watching it in the theater, it felt like a movie that I would wake up to at like 3 a.m. after I fell asleep with the TV on. And FX is just playing like some random ass movie that at 3 a.m. because they know nobody wants to watch it.
Yeah,
that's how I felt about this movie.
I've never wanted to leave the theater more. Like, I kept being like, I kept thinking in my mind, man, I really don't care about this movie.
Yeah.
And yeah. I didn't like it. It's a bad film. It's a bad flick. Don't see it. There are other movies to see. See The Incredibles again. Yeah. I'd rather do that than see this. Oh boy. Yeah, we'll put down a spoiler when you can start listening again. But yeah, this is a bad movie. Don't see it, please.
Yeah,
I think and don't even there's an after credits scene. Don't wait for it. If you do see it, it's not worth it. Just look it up.
Oh, is there? I didn't even wait for the after credits scene.
It is like 2 seconds long, and the credits are like 40 minutes long. Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
Yeah. All right, well, we're about to start jumping into spoiler territory. So if you don't want to listen, you got like 3 seconds to skip ahead to the time we marked below.
Yeah. So 3, 2, 1, spoilers.
All right. Give me that end credits scene because I didn't see it.
The end credits are so, I mean, let's just keep going after like what the movie, what happens. The girl is a clone.
Yeah.
Of the partner's dead daughter who they mentioned briefly. And we're like, all right, who cares? And it's like, that's where we like went wrong. That's where like me and Hammond broke up. Like, I don't care. Like,
yeah,
he made dinosaurs. Oh God. And the girl releases the dinosaur. Like they make it, they have a solid choice where all of the dinosaurs are trapped in this underground lab. And there's this noxious gas that's being released and it's going to kill all the dinosaurs unless they do anything. But why would they do anything? Because the dinosaurs are killer, like bad things.
Yeah.
And Bryce Dallas Howard has to stand there and be like, hey, I'm going to do this. And like Chris Pratt, like Owen doesn't even do anything. He's like, think about what you're doing instead of being like, hey, how about you don't do that?
How about you don't? Have you seen how many people these dinosaurs just killed?
Yeah. And that was in a very contained area. It killed all of the people here.
It's like you lived through the first movie. You saw what happened in Jurassic World when dinosaurs actually get into populated areas.
And that was an island. Like there were a limited amount of people there. And so she's like about to hit the button to send all the dinosaurs out into the wild. And she's like, you know what? I'm not an idiot. And we're like, oh, thank God. Like they go to watch all these dinosaurs die.
I fucking knew, though, that little girl was going to push the button, though. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, the little girl hit the button, and I can't believe, like, immediately, like, you know, I'm not afraid of, like, I'm, you know, I don't believe in physical punishment for children. But holy shit.
Like, I think they should have thrown her over the balcony into the pit with all the dinosaurs. Be like, all right, you live among them.
Yeah, no, the amount of people the amount of deaths that she is responsible for is going to be, it's going to be a lot.
Okay, the only way they could redeem this movie is if the third one comes out and it's just like a character study on like this broken ass girl that still feels responsible for the deaths of millions of people that these dinosaurs are going to kill. I would actually watch that.
Yeah, but I actually want to watch the third, like the sequel, way more than I want to watch this.
Yeah.
Which I feel like they've been teasing like this ending for so long, like in all of the other Jurassic Park movies, it's like, hey, look at these flying guys are out now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I wonder where they're going.
Pretty much every movie they've teased that happening.
And like, God, like, do it. Do it. Just do it.
Well, the third movie is going to be a time jump. It's like we jumped 30 years into the future where they've rounded up all the dinosaurs again.
I will
walk out of
the theater.
And they made another park. Yeah.
Yeah. So the trailers make it seem like these dinos are going to be out in the world. It's literally the last 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, also, you know, okay, you know what? Fucking at what point I really wanted just to fucking break my glass and slit my own throat in this movie is at the very end, the last line of the movie, when it's Jeff Goldblum and they're zooming in on his face, they close with the court scene and he's just like, welcome to Jurassic World. And I was done. I was fucking done at that point. I wanted to throw things at the screen.
That's why they put it at the very end.
God.
So the after credit scene is just the pterodactyls landing on a, like, it looks like a lighthouse. And you're like, ooh, what's the deal with this? And then you figure out that it's in Vegas.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. And it's like 30 seconds long. And I sat through like 10 minutes of credits to see it.
So Jurassic World 3 is taking place in Vegas. All right.
I mean, if dinosaurs in the real, that would be cool. I would honestly like to see like a movie about commandos go in there and take the dinosaurs out. Like, that seems kind of cool.
I think that is the Rambo crossover we've been waiting for. We got to call Rambo back from Burma.
Rambo meets the dinosaurs. I can dig it.
Or the Fast and Furious crossover. You know, if they're not going to space, they're going to go up against dinosaurs.
Yeah. This movie's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, this movie's so bad. And there's so many parts that you can just point out and be like, why did this happen?
This is the worst movie I've seen in a while, I think. Like,
yeah.
The most, you know, there's something to be said about a movie that's like so bad, you're like, ooh, look at that. Like, that's so bad. But this is just like, oh, it's like crushingly mediocre.
Yeah. Well, it's not even crushingly mediocre. I feel like this is like legitimately bad. Like, there are movies I'll walk out of that I'm like, that was fine. That was like a pretty boring movie, 5 out of 10. But this is like, this is below average. This is terrible writing. I don't think the direction was very good. There are no characters. And it's cliched as hell.
And honestly, the coolest scene, I don't know if you guys have seen some of the promos for this, but there's a little clip going around of people surfing, and then underneath you can see the shadow of this huge water dinosaur, and that they tease in like the first Jurassic World, and that's in for literally 5 seconds. It's a 5 second scene.
Yeah, it's fucking B-roll.
It's B-roll, and it looks, oh my god.
Yeah, and the funniest thing is, like, that would have happened regardless of what had just happened in the movie. Like, they had nothing to do with that underwater dinosaur.
Yeah, that was just a big old teasy tease.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, all right, I'm trying to think. What do you think is, of all the terrible moments in this movie, what is your least favorite?
My least favorite is definitely when the girl, I think I, like, said, like, Jesus Christ. Like, I think I audibly, like, said something, like, into the crowd, like, just like, oh, my God. Like, why?
Yeah. When she opened the doors and let all the dinosaurs out?
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. And the whole, I figured out, like, none of these characters had any, the fact that, like, they had the weapon, the super dino. Oh, so they steal the Indominus Rex plot line from the previous movie, and they're like, oh, we're going to infuse it with raptor DNA, which they didn't do to begin with. Like, besides the point.
Yeah, besides, I was like, I'm pretty point. Sure they said that thing was part raptor. It was like T-Rex and raptor.
Yeah, they already addressed that. And and then it's like, this is a prototype. We made a whole dinosaur that's just a killing machine. And they're like, all right, but we haven't taught it to completely obey humans yet. And I'm just like, we'll just cut to, like, that getting out. Like,
yeah, like, why are you showing us all this exposition?
Yeah, like, well, it is a Jurassic Park movie. Dinosaurs have to get out. Like,
okay, but the way it gets out is the stupidest fucking thing I think I saw in that movie. Like, when
the commando guy, which they didn't even need that guy.
Yeah, like, and he just fucking walks in, shoots the dinosaur, and then, like, opens the cage to collect a tooth for a necklace?
Which they very briefly, this commando guy that is sent to the island with all these guys and then ends up betraying Owen and Claire and the other two characters whose names we know. They betray them, they leave them on the island to die, and they get the hell out of there. And in one scene, they briefly introduce that this guy just, like, collects teeth for a necklace, because sure, why not?
Yeah, and then, but it's like the entire third act hinges on that that character trait.
Yeah, because Owen releases this dinosaur to break up this auction thing. They're auctioning off all these dinosaurs, and the dinosaur kills everybody or whatever, like, knocks them out, like, whatever. Yeah. And then the guy comes in, he's like, I'm ready for my bonus. And we're all like, what are you doing here? Like,
God. And he just opens the cage to the most dangerous dinosaur in the house. And tries to pull out its tooth. Yeah.
It tricks him. Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. That dinosaur, like, it fucking opens its... It, like, winks at the camera to, like, let the audience know that, like, oh, it's not actually asleep. It's just tricking the dude.
Yeah. And and then it rips his arm off.
And he doesn't really have, like, a reaction to that either.
Well, I think he's in shock. Yeah, I won't.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess. Fair. I've never had my arm ripped off, so I don't know how I would actually react. But also, in that same scene, one, the third act of this movie, by far the worst part of this movie, I think.
Stupid.
But there's like a 5-minute fist fight with Chris Pratt and just like random armed guards that feels, one, completely out of place in a Jurassic Park movie. And two, like, how the fuck is he doing? Like, Chris Pratt wasn't a Marine. He doesn't have any, like, close quarters combat training. He's going up against, like...
He's an animal behavioralist.
Yeah, so he can just... He can tell what they're going to do, because humans are animals, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this movie hinges on a lot of dumb shit. But what I was saying about, like, the auction, like, they're like, here's a super dangerous predator that's, like, a killing machine. We're going to kill it later because, you know, we got to put it down and make room for the new one. And they're like, it's not for sale. And then one guy is like, but what if I give you like $24 million? And they're like, yeah. I guess it's for sale now. Like, oh my God. I'm glad all those characters died. I wish all the good characters died too.
I don't even get, like, what was the point of trying to sell these things on the black market? Like
they figure it out.
You can't hide a fucking dinosaur, and if you're going to use it to kill people, that's like, that's not inconspicuous. And there was only one company that could have got, like, that was getting those dinosaurs off the island.
Google Maps is a thing. They've got satellites and shit.
This fucking movie, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. And then also, just like, I don't even know what other the side characters I thought were both terrible. The vet girl was the moment I knew I hated her was when they go to get Blue, and one, I think that entire plot line is fucking idiotic, because in the first movie they show that Blue, like, was ready to kill Chris Pratt as soon as he, like, dropped his guard. Like, there's a scene where he, like, rolls out of the cage right as all the raptors attack him.
And he's right, like, and it's like, oh, this is a wild animal, man.
Yeah. He's like, these are still wild animals. Like, they're not dogs. But apparently that's just written out in this movie, because Blue and Chris Pratt are best friends in this one. But so, like, when they find Blue and Chris Pratt's, like, about to touch her nose, and then one of the soldiers tranks Blue, like, too early. But one, like, they were going to tranquilize her anyway. Like, why does it matter if he shot her, like, a second before Chris Pratt touched her or not?
Yeah.
And then Blue, like, you know, attacks one of those dudes, and then, like, he shoots the raptor on top of him, which I think is a completely reasonable reaction to have to being mauled by a raptor.
Right, yeah.
And then Chris Pratt, like, he gets so pissed he charges the sergeant. I'm like, how are you mad about this? That thing just tried to murder a guy. And then the sergeant
tranks
him.
Yeah, that
thing
was a wild animal, and that guy may have been, like, a dick, but he's also a person, and
he wasn't
that's
even
a
like
raptor.
That much of a dick. Like, they hadn't really done anything wrong up until that point.
Yeah. They really, like, were just a little hot-headed.
That entire sequence was it was so dumb. I feel like we've used that so many used that to describe this movie so many times now, but
yeah.
After the commando tranks Chris Pratt, the vet girl grabs a gun and then, like, points it at the commando. And is like, I don't really know what her goal was. Like, nobody was threatening to kill her to begin with.
Right.
Until
and then she's like, hey, I'm the vet. I need to save this, like, raptor. And they're all like, yeah, all right. Like,
yeah, all right. Save the raptor. And
why,
like,
didn't
it's
she just
not
say,
like,
hey, I need to save this raptor? I don't
was
know.
Was it that she cared about Chris Pratt? Is that why she did it? Like,
you wouldn't know from the movie.
You couldn't, because she fucking leaves Chris Pratt to burn in the lava anyway. So, like, it wasn't to defend Chris Pratt. Like, why did she draw a gun on those people?
This movie was so dumb.
I feel like it was written just to show, like, oh, she's spunky. She's willing to draw a gun on soldiers, even though she's clearly outgunned.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's, I don't know. I'd like to say it's a part of her personality, but I feel like her personality was all implied.
Yeah. Her personality was her haircut.
Yeah, which, you know, I was a fan.
Yeah, it was a good haircut. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice haircut. I liked her. I like it. She had a slight gap in her tooth, and I was like, all right. That's character development, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but then there was when they're actually like, when they get to the ship and they have Blue and they're trying to stop her from bleeding out. And then the vet girl is like, oh, Blue needs a blood transfusion. You got to go find a dinosaur that is a carnivore with less, like more than two, but not less more than
yeah.
Yeah. Less like, than four.
Listen, you like, can make shit up all day long. Just like, don't pretend like it's real.
Yeah. Like what? God, it's so bad. I feel like we could talk for like hours about everything wrong with this movie.
Yeah, but let's not. Let's just go. We should just go to the feature. I think
just roll right into it.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody who is who missed all that spoiler riffing. Oh my god. Yeah. Well, yeah. If you want to see the movie and then go back and really commiserate with us about why we didn't like it, that's what the spoiler zone is for. So this feature, it's gonna be a little bit of modified run the series. We're gonna rank our the Jurassic Park movies, which is I think pretty easy thing to do. I would say
I feel like I could, like, honestly, my ranking is just chronological.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think Jurassic Park 1 is better than 2 is better than 3 is better than 4, and 4 is better than 5.
I think 3 is better than 2.
Really?
I think the only thing that 2 has going for it is Spielberg and
I think
Goldblum,
that's a lot
obviously.
Going for it. Though.
It is a lot going for it. Just ask the big fucking giant. I mean, the big. I'll never look at. They shouldn't have called it the BFG because. Whatever.
It's the big fucking gun. Yeah.
It's the big fucking gun. No, but I think the third one is it's got the Spinosaurus.
Yeah.
It's got that pterodactyl sequence going on in it.
Yeah.
It's
I think 3 is underrated for sure.
Yeah. The only main, and it has like all that stuff going on in the wild that I felt like 2 didn't do as well. Being like, you know, 2 has got Julianne Moore and Jeff Goldblum, and I'm into that. But it just, it has the raptors in the grass sequence, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And the baby raptor sequence.
The RV sequence.
Oh, T-Rex, not the baby raptor. Yeah. That's a pretty amazing sequence. Yeah.
I really like the San Francisco sequence too. I think Lost World, like it's not as good as 1, obviously, but I think there's like fun to be had. And the fact that it's also Spielberg and Jeff Goldblum. Like, I'll take that over 3. Not that I dislike 3, but I prefer 2 to 3.
I think 3 is scarier than 2. I think 3 is, like, the scariest out of all of them, actually.
3 is the best because, like, 3 is, I feel like, I hope we get an entry like 3 in this Jurassic World universe at some point. Because I think 3 does a really good job of being, like, a super taut thriller. Like, they know, like, they don't have those, like, moments of wonder anymore that they had in the first 2. It's like, these dinosaurs are loose. They are man-eaters, and it's terrifying. Like, it's a darker movie, it's a shorter movie, and I think I thought it was a good time in the theater.
Yeah, and it does a good job. What I missed about this current movie is that there was very little, it was very, like, straightforward in a stupid way. like, there was no kind of, it showed everything. There was no, like, fear or tension, I felt like, the entire time. Which is what I feel like the whole, what makes the first one so good is the tension and the implication. The famous scene of the water being vibrated by the steps of the T-Rex is so iconic because it's showing us the size and the proximity just through this tiny thing. And the third one does a really good job of that, like twisting it a little bit by the Spinosaurus eating the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime they're like whatever the phone ring was.
Yeah, it turns that little jingle into like a terrifying sound. You're like, oh fuck.
Yeah, and it's great. Like in that whole riverboat sequence in the third one.
Mm.
Third one is good.
Yeah.
It could use more Laura Dern, but what movie couldn't?
Yeah. And more Jeff Goldblum.
And a little bit more Bloom. Yeah. Sam Neill. I don't like Sam Neill as much as I like Goldblum, but I think Sam Neill might be a slightly better actor.
I don't know. Has Sam Neill ever done any Cronenberg movies?
I don't know. I feel like
Jeff Goldblum has that up on Neil.
Yeah, but is Jeff Goldblum British?
He could be if he wanted, I'd believe it. I feel like he's not even American. He's just like his own. He's his own essence.
Yeah, he's potpourri. Just he is. You know, he's coming out with a jazz album.
Oh, I'm buying that on vinyl day one.
Oh, day fucking one, man.
Yeah, right. I agree. I think Jurassic Park 3 is underrated.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so my official rating would be Jurassic Park 1, obviously amazing, like bona fide classic. Then Jurassic Park 3, then 2, then World, which is just disappointing. It's not bad. And then this is just this new one is disappointing and bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that was a pretty easy ranking. Like these movies, I feel like there's not a lot of debate about which of these is the best and which is the worst.
Yeah.
Honestly, like I don't think they should have made any after the first one, but you know, this is the world we live in. This is what we have to deal with.
This is the first time I've been really upset about them making. This is almost like this one is so bad it makes the one before it worse. Which is like
because it set this up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which you know, that happens. That's the test of a really bad sequel is if it makes the other ones worse.
Yeah.
Like The Matrix Revolutions. That is a sequel so bad it makes the other two worse.
Yeah, burn the franchise.
It's one so bad that you forget how good Matrix Reloaded was.
Excuse me. Was Matrix Reloaded good, though?
Yeah, it's on par with the original.
You think, really?
Yeah, watch it again and just don't watch Revolution.
I mean, I watched it a couple years ago. I don't know if it's on par with the original.
That highway sequence is one of the best action sequences in movie history.
Yeah, but a solid action sequence doesn't make a movie.
It's beyond a great action sequence. The point was it expands on the original in all of the cool mystical ways and none of the stupid science ways that the other one. Nobody cares about Zion. That's nobody cares. Like,
I don't know.
The movie's
Matrix
called
Reloaded,
The Matrix.
Matrix Reloaded had the architect scene.
And that was pretty bonkers, but it was still pretty cool.
All right. We can have this discussion.
You're only thinking about how bad it turned out.
Next time the Wachowskis come out with a movie, we can have this discussion.
Yeah. Until then, Speed Racer.
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take a. We're gonna do a new thing where we're gonna take a look at the release schedule. What movies are coming out next week, and we're gonna tell you what movie we're gonna see. So I got this right up in front of me. We got Sicario 2 coming out. Uncle Drew. That's a movie about people. It's got Shaq in it.
That's a movie based on an old ad campaign.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Leave No Trace. It's getting a limited release. And Sanju, which is also getting a limited release, and then Three Identical Strangers, another
limited release. Nothing really wants to go up against Jurassic World.
Yeah, I know what I we're gonna see Sicario 2.
Yes,
so
I hear it's actually good too.
Yeah, I've heard mixed things, but nothing can really get me off the hype train for this. I love Sicario so much that I'll take like a subpar sequel. Just to see Benicio del Toro and Josh Brolin again.
Yeah. Can't wait to see the Collector fight Thanos on the border.
Yeah, that'll be intense. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see it. Much more hyped about it than this other movie that we saw.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Any final thoughts, final riffs, Rob?
Don't fucking see Jurassic World.
Don't see it, but watch Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah, watch Jurassic Park 3 instead. And don't go to the movie theater. Save money. I'm sure Jurassic Park 3 is either on Netflix or Amazon, or it's like $6 to rent. Just watch that.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. It's got William H. Macy. You'll love it.
You'll love it.
Yeah.
That's a viewing angle's promise.
That is a viewing angle's promise. All right, well... That's been us, you beautiful viewing anglers. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't, or rate us 5 stars, or rate us something else, whatever you think is right. But come on, do a favor.
Yeah.
You can follow me at The Dan Leo Show on Twitter. You can check out my Letterboxd reviews. The username is DLeo. It's a fun time. I gave this movie 1 star. And... go visit our website, www.viewingangles podcast.com. We're on the iTunes store. We're on all that shit. Rob, you take it.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter too, at Viewing Angles. And follow us, like our page on Facebook. That just got made. And I know some people still use Facebook. So yeah, do that. Every 5-star review we get on Facebook, I'm going to send a copy of The Matrix Reloaded to Brian Williams.
MSNBC.
At MSNBC, yeah. Follow me personally on Twitter, at Robert Jr. JR. Follow me on Letterboxd and Instagram with the same handle. And I think that's it.
All right. Well, party on, Wayne.
Yes.
All right. All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.